It's Grandad.
And Doug.
And welcome back to Better Show. I think we're on episode 14. Sure. Crank your head up.
I can't watch it.
No, me neither. crank your head up to the sky. Don your tinfoil hat, because tonight's going to be a better show.
Imagine that it is nighttime. You are all alone on an overlook that spans hundreds of miles. There, you can not only see the land, but also gain a full appreciation of the universe above you. The stars, they shine bright tonight, almost too bright. You are alone, and yet, you can never be alone ever again. The stars, they seem to be fading, and your vision with them. And with that, you remember exactly where you are.
So, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This is to another year of creepy shit.
New Year, new me. Literally.
This isn't even my final form. So, I've got a couple of topics I want to cover today. But the first one, and the main one I want to cover, is that the BBC, during the run-up to Christmas, did a rehash of The Christmas Carol.
Which I haven't heard good things about.
Really? Okay, so what have you heard?
I've just heard that not many people thought liked it.
Okay, there are reasons why.
I think that might just down be because, you know, Christmas Carol's been rehashed so many times. I think
there were decisions that were made that might have thrown them off a bit. Mm-hmm. So, A Christmas Carol, for those, like, two people out there that don't know.
If you're going to watch it, watch the Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yes, do that, because that's, you might actually be happy at the end. But to sum up, it is the story about a kind of, I guess, narcissistic bastard who runs a business and is literally focused on that.
Tight-fisted, lonely businessman.
Yeah. His business partner passed away, and he is left running the business by himself, and is anything but kind to his employees.
He has no family to celebrate Christmas with, so he doesn't understand why other people want to go and celebrate Christmas.
That's right. And he is then visited by three spirits, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future, who attempt to show him the error in his ways and try to reform him into a jolly, jolly man.
Because that's what society wants you to be.
Yes, they want you to be happy, and to be happy with the fact that we are controlled by the corporates.
Yeah.
And that we get anally fisted by...
stupid corporates.
By like the corporates.
Amazon.
Like, yeah.
Asda. Costa.
Pizza Attic. Because I'm never going to get my money back, cunts. But anyway.
What's Pizza Attic?
Because I can't say the actual name. Oh. You warned me about this. You said I couldn't. I'm going to do every show. Fuck Pizza Attic or Pizza Conservatory. Right. So, A Christmas Carol. I've done notes for each episode. There are three episodes. And the first thing that I'm going to point out is that the first episode is literally the first 16 pages of the book.
16?
Yeah.
Dragged out into a...
one episode.
Hour so, long?
Near enough, yeah. So, I don't even think he actually comes across the first ghost in that first episode.
That's a lot of... background.
That is a lot of background, but I think it's actually, it worked. Hmm. I really, really like it. So, the first thing that we get is a lot of stuff from Scrooge. And I want to say this, up until one decision that he makes, and we're going to get to that, I'm kind of with him. And it's not just because I'm a bit depressed. I'm kind of with him all the way through this. Like I say, up until this decision, which we will get to. So he questions the Bible quite a bit.
Good.
And he makes a good point that there is no date stated of the birth of Christ. It's something that's...
well, most people have to commonly say that Christ was born in the summertime. And when the Romans came over here to push Christianity upon us, they moved the birth of Christ to December to line up with a pagan holiday, which is why we had the trees, because that was the pagan thing. They worshipped the tree.
Yeah.
So it kind of sort of took over that. So actually... if you don't mind me saying, religion is all about power and control. And
yeah, and just moving stuff to be convenient for the masses.
Yeah.
And talking about pagan stuff, if I may divert very quickly, call the midwife. Holy shit. We had some old lady going fucking mental in Scotland about trees and there shall be no trees. Tear down the trees. And that was really sad. They had to put the tree in the bin. But then also they set a child on fire. Call the midwife, man.
I have a penis.
Cool. That must be nice. Now, to be fair, I'm usually sat down to watch it. We have turkey sandwiches, and then it's that, and then Doctor Who.
To be fair, every day for the past week, I've had to watch EastEnders, so...
Man, yeah. How have you not killed yourself?
Well, you know,
have you not committed suicide?
Phil and Sharon and all that part, and Keanu...
How the fuck is Phil still in it? I thought he died.
He was in the pantomime at Orchard.
Really?
Yeah, in Peter Pan.
Who did he play?
I can't remember, but...
Smee. Please be Smee. Like, the world's angriest Smee. That's great. Okay, so he also says why... and he brings up quite a good point. Why should there be only one day in the year when people are good and kind to one another?
Yeah.
He literally says, why don't we switch it around? Why don't we have one day a year when everyone's kind of...
So he wants to purge.
Yeah, that's what I was about to bring up. He wants to purge. And that's... I'm not going to say that... The purge is 100% accurate to how people would react. However, I do believe that if people had an opportunity in order to take out their aggression with no consequence, I do believe it would benefit us.
It's a very interesting concept.
Yes, because I'm very much in the belief, and I wanted to bring this up at some point during Better Show, so what better time to do it than now, is that I still very much believe that there are elements of our caveman existence that still hold within us. There's a nature and an animalistic urge for violence.
That's why you get things like cliques and popularity in schools, because you get groups of people who think they're better and push and talk down others to make them lesser, to give themselves more power.
Yeah, but it's also, so not just cave people, but then also if you look further into history, so like the Vikings and people like that, where their violence, and they would go pillage and rape and torture. That was part of what they did, and it was so... I'm only going by what I know from Norsemen, but but it's so, it was so natural to them. There was no conscience.
Well, they believed if they didn't die fighting,
they wouldn't go to Valhalla.
They wouldn't get into their heaven.
Yeah, so I guess what I'm trying to get at is that society, not to sound like I'm some kind of maniac, but society has very much been catered towards us, and it leads to... It bleeds into the conscience side of it. A lot of our conscience is around also the sense of consequence, because there is a sense of consequence. I can't go outside and just start hacking people because I'll go to jail.
Yeah.
But back in the day, there wasn't the case.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
When wars were fight with honour rather than bangy bangy.
Politics! So he also makes the point of how many how many happy Christmases are meant. Which is true. I mean, but for me working in retail, I know that absolutely none of mine are meant. But it's true, because you feel, I don't know about you, but a lot of people, and I've spoken to people about this, they feel obligated to say Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
But especially if you're going through a shitty time yourself, you don't mean it. And
it's just a phrase people say now.
There's no real meat behind it.
No.
So... There's a moment in A Christmas Carol, and I've been trying my best to remember all the Muppet stuff. Because in the Muppet stuff, Scrooge has two former business partners, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so in this, it's just the one. It's just Marley. But there's a vision
originally. It's just always...
Oh, okay. I guess they added two because of the two old men.
Because it's two old men.
Yeah. So what he gets is he gets a... a memory and a vision of an old Christmas memory, which is when his sister got him a little mouse. And the sister had attached a bell, a golden bell, to the mouse's neck. And I think he had a name for the pet as well. But we'll get to what happens to that. So he also makes a the point is made that humans are an inward-thinking creature. So, they added this as well, which I think that's why I really kind of felt for Scrooge, because because it's a darker adaptation, they had to put in darker stuff to match up with that. And as a result, I really kind of sympathised with him, because he went through so much shit that meant that he hated Christmas, instead of him just being a bit of an old bastard and I know there was like the love interest and stuff like that, and that all fell down, and then that was his kind of, but there was some real meat to this one, which added to his likability, I think. So he had an abusive father, and the father came home one day, and I think if I remember correctly, he'd lost everything, and then he saw the mouse that Scrooge had. And it was so interesting the way that they did it, because the flashback was like Scrooge was living it, but Scrooge was at his current age.
Oh, so he was adult.
Yeah, but he was still acting like a child, like, I'm so sorry, Daddy, and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So the dad makes the point that the mouse is actually more rich than he is because of the golden bell. It's like, why should a mouse have a golden bell? Why would a mouse need gold? And it's like, it's not real gold. It's just, you know, it's just aesthetic. So the dad takes a knife and cuts the mouse's head off.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucked. And you do, well, you don't see, you see the shadow and you hear the squeal. Yeah. Also, there's a moment where Scrooge gets, just before the first spirit turns up, he gets a vision of the mouse. It comes in through the window and he has a moment of compassion where he's like, oh, I remember you. And then he suddenly starts to realise, wait, no, this isn't right. And he takes the mouse and just fucking hurls it out the window. But I audibly said when, just before he got home to his house, before the first spirit visited him, or before Marley visited him, that he sees that there's a abandoned carriage outside of his house with two black horses, and he takes a cloth and drapes it over the horses. And it's like, there's the act of kindness, because he doesn't hate animals. He, and you'll learn how much he hates, sorry, how much he likes horses. But he hates people. Yeah, he hates people. And there's a reason.
Why wouldn't you hate people? People suck.
Yeah, and you'll learn later on as to why he really hates them. So he gets home, and you remember, I think this is one of the scariest parts of A Christmas Carol, isn't it? Where the, like, the door knocker like screams at him or something. That's so fucking scary. But there's a different version of scariness in this, where he gets home and he, like, I think he tries, he sees the fact that Marley's face is in the door, and he takes like the knocker and it tears the jaw portion of the knocker off. So then when Marley comes into the house, he is missing his jaw, and he sees it on the floor. He just kind of like clicks it back. It is pretty fucking visual, but it's so cool. So you actually get a bit of flesh out with Marley as well, where Marley, when he dies, he ends up in, I guess it's in Limbo. But Limbo's a forge, and the forge is run by one of the people that his business between him and Scrooge had wronged.
Oh, okay. So sort of like cracking the whip back at him.
Yeah. And the forger forges the chains, which, you know, are a link for every soul that he's wronged. And he is then sent to a really visually nice place, which is a snowy plain covered in old Christmas trees. And all the Christmas trees have old abandoned decorations. And he comes across the first ghost throwing his childhood rocking horse onto a giant fire. And then the ghost says, you will not find peace until Scrooge has repented as well, because your sins are collaborated.
Oh, okay. So he's eternal rest is based on Scrooge.
Yeah, and he's like, he literally says, well, fuck. Because I know that old prick won't budge. So I'm fucked. He is quite vocal at how pissed he is at that little bit of information. I can't remember in the original story, and I can't remember in The Muppets Christmas Carol, but Scrooge, as a kid, he went through a lot of shit, and we'll get to that, but he, to get past that, he had a book about the adventures of Ali Baba.
Oh.
And when Scrooge meets the first ghost, the ghost takes on the form of Ali Baba. So I suppose this is a better time to get onto the abuse that he went through. So his father sent him to a boarding school. All the kids went home during Christmas and the holidays.
Which is the theme of all the other ones as well.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Scrooge didn't, though.
No.
But in order to pay for the fees of keeping Scrooge longer, he said to the headmaster, you can have your way with my son.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. It's not said, but it's very heavily implied. Which, this is the bit where people had problems with it. But I think it's a darker thing. And again, it fleshes out Scrooge.
Oh, everybody loves paedophiles.
Not the ones getting molested by them. I think it fleshes out him more. And I really wanted Scrooge to have a likability about him, because then you can relate. And then I think his transformation is more meaningful because you're not, you don't hate him, and you don't, you, you're not unrelating to him. You relate to him in his bad side as you do with his good, and that's telling to a strong bit of writing, which unfortunately doesn't exist all the way through these three episodes, but at the moment it does. So the human mind is a point that I made. The human mind doesn't forget anything and is morphed and changed by events in our lives. So when he, I mean, that was during the Christmas holidays, he would be molested.
Yeah.
And probably beaten. So
he hates Christmas.
He would hate Christmas because it would be that, that would probably be the only time that that would happen. It would be during the Christmas holidays when no one else is around to witness it. And when he first sees the headmaster, but obviously he's a spirit along with the Christmas spirit and can't interact with anything. I think he takes like an axe and fucking hurls it at the headmaster, but just goes through him or sails past him. So there's a selfless act that happens where his sister comes to save him from his headmaster's tyranny. His father at this point has left and it's just him and his sister. His sister goes into the academy or whatever and says to Scrooge, go and wait in the carriage. But what Scrooge doesn't see is the fact that the sister pulls a gun on the headmaster and says, like, I'm going to shoot you if you come after us and we won't speak of this. And Scrooge didn't see that. Instead, what he saw or what he witnessed, it's not that well fleshed out, but if you piece it together, what he experienced was, although he was experiencing rape and all that, he was in a place of relative warmth.
Yeah.
And then his sister took him out back to nothing. So he resented that. He didn't get to see the context behind it. Mm. It was just that he'd been taken out and now he had nothing.
I suppose, like, even though it was horrible, that was his norm, so...
Yeah. So he also gets the vision of the family that he could have had with the person that he fancied. And one of his points are that humans are all beasts, but the ghost of Christmas, whatever, says, do you see any beasts up there? It's kind of like in a film projector way. So he sees him as a father go up and hug his son, daughter, and looking generally happy.
Yeah.
But I made the point in my own head as that scene was going on that the beast always lays within. It's just a perspective of happiness. It's not, you know, so everyone's fine. It's something that lays within and is tested and released with the events that happen around us. Okay. So this is where things start to get a bit... So we haven't really covered the Cratchit family.
No.
So, Mr. Cratchit, I can't remember his first name, but he's very much like he is in The Muppets Christmas Carol.
First name's Kermit.
Oh, yeah. So, Kermit Cratchit. he's more or less the same, but he still challenges Scrooge, which I don't think the Kermit one did. He was a bit more complacent. No, you're just kind of like, oh,
quiet acceptance of.
Yeah, so there was serious anger in this one.
Because in the Muppet one, it was... Although everyone was dissing Scrooge being horrible,
they would accept.
Mr. Cratchit was actually defending him, saying, "Oh, he's a nice man deep down."
Yeah, so that was actually a difference. There was no presence of that.
Mm-hmm.
His cousin still came and tried to, or was it a brother or whatever, tried to invite him to Christmas dinner, and Scrooge was like, "Fuck off." And I think the cousin said, "Oh, I doubt I'll see you again in this life." Which is a bit morbid.
Yeah.
Scrooge, you look unwell. I think you will die soon.
You're gonna die, goodbye.
that was the difference. The actor that played Tiny Tim, I think he did remarkably well. I think it helped that I couldn't make out, and I haven't really done all that much research, of whether it was actually a child actor or whether it was someone, I can't remember the name of the condition, but where you don't gain much height and you look like a child, whatever that condition is, because he looked like he had a lot of maturity about him and yet was very young in face and quite short in stature, but looked, I guess, dwarfism is the condition that you might
be honest, probably was like 20 year old worse. 18-year-old playing one.
but yeah, such good acting on that part, and much like it is in all the other variants, the Cratchit son was suffering with a condition that he required
death.
No, he didn't require death. He didn't require death. He required some urgent surgery or medical attention. So, I don't remember how this went in the Muppets Christmas Carol. You may need to give me some kind of input on this. But in this variant, Mrs. Cratchit went to Scrooge in order to ask for some monies and a loan.
Oh.
So this is where my problem with Scrooge happens.
Did he make her suck his dick?
You're not wrong.
Ha!
Well, so what happened was Scrooge said, I will give you a loan of £30 in £10 notes. You can take the first £10 note now and you can come to my house to collect the following 20. And you must then do whatever I ask.
Mm.
So Mrs. Cratchit turns up at the house and it's so awful because he's just sitting there in his chair like, so why are you here?
Because you asked me to.
Okay, but what did I say?
I can have the money if you do whatever you want to me.
And what does that mean?
Intercourse?
So Scrooge is like, meh. And she starts to derobe, and it's an awful scene because she's crying and she's clearly not into it. She's saying, God forgive me. And just before, like, she's arse naked, but top half still covered fairly. And just as she's about to remove the top half, Scrooge says, stop, you can take the money. I just wanted to see how far you would go. And that's just like, oh, fuck, you bastard. You twat. Okay, now I'm going to have to be really careful. At the same time,
yeah,
a man of power, yeah, who's gone through as much shit as he has, not justifiably, but I can see where his train of thought took him, because he has been a victim of the human condition and is still unknowing of it in its fullest capacity. A man of power now suddenly gets the ability to test it.
Yeah, well, he's just curious about the needs of others.
How far people will go in order to do right by their family.
Yeah.
Even if it means breaking several promises in the eyes of God. So, yeah, that's pretty fucked.
It's a test against faith and need, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. But also in loyalty, because that's the point that he made, that she went against all her marriage promises in order to get this money.
Mm.
I don't know. It's such a difficult scene. I hated him afterwards. What was that look for? You gave me a, oh, why did you, oh, okay. That's literally 30 quid.
Yeah. Do it.
But for what? What do you want? What do you, wait, so wait, why are you giving me money? What? Oh, I see. So I have sex with you. Okay. Well, I'm all right. I mean, I don't have any physically challenged sons to cater for at this present moment, so I'll hit you up later. Yeah, so that was a really difficult scene to watch, and it made me hate him a bit. There are a couple of scenes that I wanted to cover as well, which I think were really, really well done. The first one is the mine collapse. So you got to witness an actual event. A couple of events, actually. So let's do three scenes. So there was one where he walked out of his house and he was suddenly outside a factory that had gone through some kind of meltdown or explosion or something.
Yeah.
And there were just people running around on fire. There was someone who'd lost a leg.
Lovely.
People just screaming in agony. And it was a result of him cutting back on costs. Same with what happened in the second scene where he witnesses a mine collapse. And he sees men, women and children all frantically trying to get to this kind of elevation system, and it doesn't work, or there's no one to pull them up on the other side, and there are horses down there, which again, it was really difficult for him to watch, because he said audibly, I didn't want to think about the horses that died. He never once mentioned the people
or the children.
Later on that becomes more of a focus.
Yeah,
but before then, that was all he was concerned about. That was the third scene, wasn't there? Oh, yeah. So he and Marley, you see a flashback to them, Christmas has passed, I guess, and them buying a business for, I think it's for £800 to then sell it for £8,000 and then close it down and demolish it. But the way that they shot the profit was so good, because the first factory that he bought was a looming factory, and they had all the looming machines, but then as the looming machines, so all the people disappeared when they were talking about, oh, he sold it, but then the looming machines were still going, and as they were going, instead of making cloth at the end, they were printing money, and it was just such a nice visual representation of the profit that was made through him, just basically. And I don't know if I feel 100% angry at him because of it, because it's just the state of the world at the moment.
Well, it was just a smart business
move. Yeah, it was just a smart business. Yeah, people lose their jobs all the time because of smart business moves. If you buy up a business and the person sells it, then you literally are at the mercy of that individual.
Yeah.
And if they sell it, then that was their business move, and you just have to get on with your life. But they portrayed it as this massive thing. When Mrs. Cratchit left Scrooge's house, she said something about the power of women and the ability to summon spirits, show men in their reflected selves, which I thought was interesting, because I think women, and this isn't a dig, this is actually like a really kind of like, wow, you have this power. It sucks that you have this power, but you do. They have the ability to show us within our reflected selves, 100%. They have the ability to take us aside and really paint a picture of how they see us. If it's in a negative way, then we experience that 100%. It's almost like we relive it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Tiny Tim's death. In The Muppets Christmas Carol, obviously, it's a children's adaptation, so we don't actually see it. In this one, we see it.
Oh, dear.
So, the cinematographer, I must find out who this is, because I will praise them forever. It was fantastic. The way that they did it was that Scrooge was in his...
It was the best child death I've ever seen.
It was! It was the best child death I've ever seen! It was rad! It was metal as hell! But... Poor Tiny Tim. But man, it was cool! So, Scrooge was in his room, and suddenly his roof or ceiling changed to the ice sheet of the lake that Tiny Tim skated on. So you saw the silhouette of Tiny Tim crossing the ice, and then the ice broke and Tiny Tim fell into the room, but he was in the water where Scrooge wasn't. So you saw him drifting, his hair like going up because obviously he's in water, and him slowly just losing his breath.
So he didn't die from his disease, he died through...
No, he died from that, but I think a lot of his physical disabilities, he would have then been able to get back to the surface. But I think the point was that it was made quite early on that he wanted skates, and his dad was like, oh, you can't skate, but you know what, I'll buy you wings and then you can fly, which I think is false promise.
That is a hard wing to say.
Yeah, Red Bull wasn't around then, so you can't do that, and that's just building up false hope. But I guess Tiny Tim was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna get skates and I'm gonna go skate on the ice, and, yeah. But man, it was a cool fucking scene.
Shame he weren't the kid from Jumper.
Jumper?
You ever seen Jumper?
What, the Hayden Christensen film?
Is he Hayden Christensen? The guy that teleports?
Yeah, that's such a rad film!
Yeah, I'm saying, it's a shame it's not him.
Yeah, because he could just, like, teleport. man, I love that film. Loads of people hate that film.
I watched it the other day.
Oh, so good. And the ending is kind of satisfying. I like it. Another thing that I wanted to quickly cover is that the Ghost of Christmas Future... Sorry, no. Yes, so it's weird. The Ghost of Christmas Present and Future is all in the last episode. Oh. And the Ghost of Christmas Present is his sister. And the Ghost of Christmas Past is actually less scary than the Muppets one, because the Muppets one is just a fucking Grim Reaper.
You mean Future?
Sorry, yeah, Future. It's just the Grim Reaper. But in this one, it's a guy... like kind of dressed, he's kind of pale and he has a top hat and his mouth sewn shut, so he can't talk and he can't speak of the future, but does all the look over there. And his sister shows him a church that holds a service that's in mourning to those who died in the
factories.
No, in the mine collapse. And she makes the point that all but one person there are all not happy, but they're not crying. They're singing for the memory of their lost ones, and they're doing it because it makes them cheerful of the life that they did have.
Yeah, so rather than mourning their death, celebrating the life they had.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it brings the community together, and it's all quite a powerful movement. There's only one person there that isn't in the right frame of mind, and it's an individual that you see urinating on the grave of Marley, and then in Christmas Future, urinating on the grave of Scrooge. Because I think he had a brother down there, and he wasn't able to save him, but got out. So my point is, and it's something that we'll bring up again once you've seen the Rise of Skywalker, but we can bring up about other Star Wars films or other films, is repentance and being resolved of sin and being... Oh, what am I looking for? I don't actually...
Like in Robot Chicken, when Sidious is falling to death, goes, I renounce and take the Jedi away. I'm a ghost, fuck you!
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously it's perspective and it's opinion, but there's a lot of media out there where it's just like, fuck it, I will do this one nice thing and I'm resolved for all my sins. Vader did it, and I don't think he's resolved for his sins because he killed children.
And a planet.
There's another individual that did it, and you'll see that at some point. And Scrooge, it was also the same. The interesting thing about Scrooge was that when he goes to his own grave and he realizes that, you know, he's starting to see the way of the ghosts, but he makes the point that it's good that I die, because if I come back and I repent, everything that I do will be in the service of making everything I previously did okay.
Yeah.
Which is wrong. And he openly says that he's that kind of person.
Yeah, he thinks he should suffer for his
wrongdoings. Yeah, which I'm kind of behind.
Well, it's like all the bullshit about when priests go to prisons to say you want to death, and, oh, would you like to repent and take unto the Lord? Okay, I'm going to be sentenced to death for horrible crimes, but oh well.
Yeah, I think repentance is a very flimsy thing, and most of the time it's not done right. Mm. And this, unfortunately, is also a time where it's not done right. And it would have been done really, really well had they done this thing. So Scrooge, he comes out of the previous, or like the last version, and he's in a park, just outside of the village that he lives in.
Yeah.
And he's like, holy shit, I'm back. And he's wandering along, and he slips on a sheet of ice and goes down. And he gets back up, and this old doddery old lady comes over and is like, oh dear, I'm so sorry. I would have put out this gravel, but fuck it, it's Christmas. And I forgot. And Scrooge takes like this little bit of gravel, and he's like, gravel? It's a selfless act by people where they don't expect any kind of thanks or anything like that. Oh, gravel! I think it needed to be more concrete than that in order to get like the final epiphany. But
yeah.
So he takes this old lady's gravel, which I think we're then overlooking the fact that this lady now has no gravel, and that sheet of ice will always be sheet of ice. And he goes to the lake that's outside of the Cratchit's house, and gingerly walks across the lake, and then he starts like, fuck it, no one will skate here, I will save Tiny Tim's life. And that there would have been an absolutely fantastic moment for Scrooge to have fallen through the ice.
Yeah.
Because then Tiny Tim would have been saved. Mr. Cratchit said he was going to resign. Scrooge had previously said that if he should resign, then he will tell Mr. Cratchit about what his wife had tried to do. And then none of that would have happened, because Scrooge would have been dead. And I know I've said this to my sister and my mum before and other people, and it's like, well, you can't rewrite the story. But they've already done that. They already did it with the rape, and they already did it with the Alibaba stuff, and they already did it with loads of other shit.
Yeah.
So it would have been a real way for them to wrap it up. Of course, it's the BBC, and they've got their thumb so much up the power of love and all that fucking bollocks. So Scrooge somehow survives that.
I'm pretty sure the BBC have their thumb up children.
Well, maybe. They seem to talk about it enough. And Scrooge goes to the house and Mrs. Cratchit's like, fuck, get out of my house. And Scrooge's like, don't worry, I've been visited by spirits. I'm sane. And he wanders around. He says, Tiny Tim, you will fly. And shit like that. And Tiny Tim's like, oh, you're fucking bonkers. And I guess that there's kind of like a lull in the aggression that Scrooge is facing from all these people. And he says that he's going to sell his business and give the proceeds to the family. And he's like, fuck it, I'll just go off and do what makes me the best person.
Live my best life, y'all.
Yeah, YOLO. Which is pretty much what he says. And he says, okay, I will leave. And you'll never see me again, but fuck it. And he leaves the house, and just before he does, Mrs. Cratchit calls after him and says something or other. And as Scrooge walks away, the BBC pulls another bit of bullshit and has Mrs. Cratchit just address out of nowhere the three spirits that she now canonly summoned and says there's still work to be done. What the shit? Why is there more story?
So she summoned the spirits?
Apparently so. A woman's scorn, man.
Cool.
But there doesn't need to be more story. That's where the story ends.
What? More work to be done on him?
I guess.
Other people? Or...
I think it's directly at him. But we don't need more.
Well, that's something they can do one next year.
I guess.
Or maybe they're going to do an Easter Carol.
An Easter Carol, where he goes around beheading bunnies or something. Oh man, it's just... I don't know. That was the... As soon as he didn't die on the ice and then everything followed on from there, I was not with, because it's just... it's the BBC pulling their usual shit. It's a shame, because up until then, it was a really strong story and it had a lot of concrete behind it. I don't know what your thoughts are from what I've told you.
The Muppets stumped out.
Yeah. I would enjoy watching The Muppets more, but I've got to say the dark element of it is really, really fun. And if you do get an opportunity, I would seriously recommend watching it.
Yeah, I might watch it one day when I've got nothing better to do. I'm sitting at home alone and I'm tired of masturbating.
sounds fair to me. So,
you know, when you get at the stage where it's no longer like...
Oh, where it's more like self-harm.
Bit of some spaghetti.
Oh, God.
You're slapping it to get going again. It's just not happening. And you tend to see yourself just say, look, I need a break. Or, you know, scrape the stuff off your hands.
Oh, shit.
That you've let build up.
Oh, like cheese. The worst part of it is where you have to get the 12-inch knob out and just...
Scrape it into that empty Philadelphia top.
My family will love this. So, a legend that I wanted to quickly cover to round off this episode of Better Show is something that I don't have that much knowledge about, but I think is quite fun to discuss in its
Just to clarify, we're now going a complete U-turn spin away for something that's completely unrelated. Cool.
That's what Better Show usually does. That's our usual shit. So, I've captioned this and I have put it on the Better Show Facebook page. Lock your doors and close your curtains. The black-eyed ones are here. Shit, he's out! Shut the door! So, it is said that the black-eyed children are a contemporary legend. They are reported to only appear to adults that are alone, either in parking lots or on the front door of homes. Once... coming into contact with an adult, these children that usually appear in pairs and are aged between the ages of 6 to 16 ask basic favours of the adult. Can I use the bathroom? Can I get a ride home? Can I have something to eat? Etc. It is also said that the adults who encounter these beings feel an unexplainably strong fear. The things start to get sinister and dangerous if one does not complete the tasks of the children that are asked of them. So come on, mister, let us in. So that's all I've got on the black-eyed children, but it was just a short little thing that I wanted to write up about.
So
a sinister entity.
So if kids come to your door, kick them in the teeth.
Well, I don't know if I'd do that. I think I just, you know, there's, I can't remember the name of the American security system that's going around at the moment, but there's something, yeah, there's an American security system. I think we've got it here in the UK where you can, like, get a phone update from your door.
Oh, yeah, it's not American. That's like a... There's loads of versions of it.
Yeah, so get that. Get that and don't live in a weird area, I guess. But, yeah, it was a cool one to come across. I can't remember how I came across it. I think it was just doing research for other things. But, yeah, I think child apparitions are the one thing that I find really difficult to... be cool with.
I can watch any horror, but as soon as like you start hearing child la, laughter. La. It's like, oh, fuck off.
La, la, la. I think the worst one that I've ever encountered with you was when we were playing Left 4 Dead. And isn't the witches?
Yeah.
The little girl. Oh, that's the worst.
Fuck off.
So I've got a few other cool things that I've come across in the recent weeks. Rumours that Nicolas Cage is going to be in a Cthulhu film. Yeah. Which is going to be rad. I don't care. As soon as I heard Nicolas Cage and Cthulhu, it's gonna be, it's going to be metal as hell. And also a story that I came across on another podcast. You don't have a dog anymore. It makes me sad. I don't know if you do this. I hope you wouldn't.
Thanks.
No, I'm sorry. There's a story about a dog, but I know that you... If you were to get another pet, what would you get?
I'd like another dog.
Yeah. Same breed or something different?
No, I would like a real dog.
Okay.
I mean, I think I'd like a staff, but...
Oh, nice.
Probably wouldn't get one, because if I got a dog in my current relationship, it'd have to be a non-molting one.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because he's allergic. Isn't he? Yeah. So...
I'm like an orangutan.
That is a monkey.
Yes. I went to the zoo in Budapest, and they were pretending to do the breaststroke across the floor.
What?
They were doing
a breaststroke.
And it was hilarious. There was one monkey doing it, moving itself across the floor.
Oh my god!
And another one laying down behind it, letting it be dragged. And it was the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh yeah, how was your holiday? Before we get into this last story, how was your holiday? That was a doorbell.
That was a doorbell.
Oh. Yeah, you say how your holiday was.
Budapest. My review of Budapest. It is a picturesque, lovely place, which I recommend anyone to visit. It was a tourist place. It is amazing. Everyone is very friendly and welcoming. There are plenty bus services that do amazing tours around the city for jumping on and off, and they're all very cheap. The castle's lovely. The river tours are lovely. The square's lovely. The zoo's lovely. And the money's amazing because I used £200 and I got 70,000 huff. It makes you feel rich.
Is that a currency or is that a drug?
That's their currency.
That's amazing.
Hungarian florin.
Huff for huff?
Yeah, that's great.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you had a good time.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's a lovely, beautiful place.
Excellent. So with the dog stuff, if you were to get a dog, don't do what this gentleman did. You know, I think you could already see where
Fuck
I'm going.
It.
No, well, it's put a
peanut butter on his dick.
There we are!
And it's...
Yep. So I don't know if you know this about dogs, but once they get the taste of human flesh, they can't stop.
Mm.
And it removed most of his junk, and the dog had to be put down.
Yeah. That's sex with your dogs.
No, don't do it with any pets at all.
Because, I mean, with dogs, it's like having sex with your child, because they become part of the family.
Yeah, but once a little... child gets a taste for human flesh, I don't think they become like rabid with it. That we know of. It's like a story that I came across on Twitter of a girl who she had, I think it was a tortoise, and she was like, I was stroking my tortoise and he got excited. I'd want to give the tortoise oral sex, but I'm scared I'll kill him. It's like, well, first of all, don't sneeze into the dick and like inflate him like a flesh balloon. What are you doing? You killed my turtle.
Such a weird thing.
I know.
I want to suck off my tortoise.
But I suppose if you're lonely and all you have is your non-verbal entity that can't say no. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying I can see where the thought process goes. I think one day I want to do a whole podcast about kinks. Really weird kinks.
Okay.
Yeah, you down?
I'm in.
Sweet. Okay, so thank you very much once again for joining us for this episode of Better Show. We'll hopefully finally complete the War of the Worlds 1 and the Jack the Ripper 1 at some point. But until then, have a great evening, day, existence, life, and death. And we'll see you guys next week for a better show.
Finish one.